continue from there.
Okay, fine. Okay, so you have to, again, the question is like this. If you're going to argue that the Kuskin don't, if you're going to argue that the Kuskin don't hold that shchita of birds is minasara, and therefore they would eat the bird regardless whether it was shechted properly or not, you could ask the same question. Even if we're talking about an animal, they don't, how would they know all the halachas of shchita? It's all Torah about that. You could argue maybe they don't hold of those either. And therefore it wouldn't prove anything if he eats the meat. Ella, no, the answer must be given to Achzikubuhu, once they chafed on, once they started and accepted, once they accepted the halachas of Shchita, Achzikubuhu, then they accepted them completely. So listen, Eber, the different mitzvah that they don't accept. But Shchita.
Except one thing.
Because.
The
because they say they could. Because they could. I mean, they the logic is that this appealed to them. This they found there's a certain thing in Torah Shabbat on it. There's a vachtim of Koch of Atonka, Kashet Vitzicha. Okay, Kashet Vitzicha implies there must be a Torah Shabbat on it. Listen to Iver. They would say, there you get the idea. Listen to Iver means not being martial, somebody in a mitzvah. It doesn't say anything in the pasuk. But they wouldn't hold of it.
What do you mean by this, that Iver in this case?
In this case, it would mean that if the shchitzer was bad, that the kusi himself wouldn't eat from it, but he wouldn't care if you or Yid eat from it. That's with neighbor.
He wouldn't care about that, right?
He wouldn't care, or he would give it to you, claiming that it's kosher and whatever. And
he would eat what they would eat.
No. If he wouldn't eat from it if he knows that it's neveva. But even if he knows that it's Nevela, he wouldn't care whether you end up eating it. So it could be that it was a possible shchita, and he will still sell it to you, claiming that it was kosher, because he doesn't care if you end up eating the bear.
You say where do we get the
The word means, lifnei evil oisit and mishal, in front of a blind person, don't put a stumbling block. So we learn in Torah Shabbat that it means not being machshel a person in the mitzvah, not giving them bad advice, they don't hold of that.
They take it literally.
Yeah, they take it literally.
They've never ever put a lock in front of a blind person.
Yeah, okay. So El Akivin Dachzikubuhu Achzikubuhu, once they accepted a certain mitzvah and they held on to it, they hold on to it in all the details. Hochinani, the same thing you could say as far as birds. Kivin Dachzikubuhu Achzikubuhu, once they accepted the halachas of Shchita, then they also accepted the part that it applies to birds, even if it's not Daraisa, even if it is only, even if it's not Daraisa, nevertheless, they accepted it. Okay. So that would be the answer, therefore. So in the case of the animal or in the case of the bird, you can give them a piece, and if they eat it, good, and if not, then you have a problem. So now the question is Ahsuk Valai Ahsuk. So okay, so now not a question, but a statement. But Ahsuk Valai Ahsuk. Okay, I guess he's there. Hello again. Please try not to fall asleep again because it's a little disturbing.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so the Gemara points out, the loik siva, this that we're talking about, whether what they took on a mitzvah or they didn't take it on, depends on whether there's something about it, the Seder and the Torah or not. Tanoyihi, that is that which we're saying, because Shchita they'll accept, but even though the details of it aren't Torah Shabbat Peh, but Lufna Iva they won't accept because there's nothing in the written text of Torah Shabbat Peh B'chol that implies that it has anything to do with Arayrus. So that concept, Tanoyihi, is actually the subject of the Machloika Tanoyim. What is it that what's the criteria that makes it whether kusim accepted a mitzvah or not? Itani, as we learn in a brisa, matas kusi mucheres, matza made by a kusi is mutter to eat on Pesach. We don't have to worry that they may have made a comet, because that's something that says in the Torah. But adam yotzei yedeches vasu Pesach, and a person can be yotzei eating it on Pesach night. Now the Gemara is going to ask later on, it's mutter to eat, of course you can be yotzei with it. What's the chiddush? So we'll get to that soon. But then. That's okay. The Torah just mentions that point, that past kusim is also. So therefore, how can you do it? So one answer is Torah just says that we're talking about that the yid made the dough, and then the goy, and then not goy, the kusi went and baked it.
Well, he was the mutter.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It doesn't have the gene of a kosher kusi.
Yeah, we're not talking about kusi. Right. We wouldn't get to that.
The yid, but they're still rejecting Torah Shabbat.
They're rejecting parts of it. They're rejecting parts of it. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Yid, rejecting Torah Shabbat.
Right. I guess so. Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. But here with a kusi, I mean, he's on a lower level anyway.
He never made it all the way up the ladder.
Yeah.
It goes back down the ladder.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
It doesn't qualify.
No, but the point is, in other words, therefore, they're worse off than the Yisrael Mumma. That's why, for example, you can't eat the bread, but you can eat the bread of the Yisrael Mumma.
Well, how can you eat the matzo?
Hold on. So, listen, that's Tosis's question. The Tosis's answer is that the yid made the dough and the kusi just baked it, that there's no gzeira in that case. There's other answers, including Pashat, our Gemara may not be talking about from the point of view of, our Gemara may not be talking so much from the point of view of Pat Kusi, maybe from that point of view it's also, but we're talking about, can you be Yosef with it on Pesach, but you have it if he ate it. Also, another possibility is that our Gemara could be talking about before the Zera. There was a point in history when they made that Zera, but yeah, okay. Anyway, so Makis Kutsi Maseret, but other Mirtabe Decha Basil Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer, so now Rabbi Eliezer says that it's also even to eat it on Pesach, Lafisha and the Kiyan with the Sukkot Mitzvah Kisrael, because the Kutsim are not knowledgeable. They're not knowledgeable in the details of the dinim like Jewish people. So therefore, for example, it might have become chametz. It might have started reaching the first stages of chametz, and they don't realize. And then the brayso continues. Rav Shimon Gamliel and Kol Mitzvah Sheikh Zikul Bar Kutim. Any mitzvah that the Kutim held on to, Harbe Medaktik in Bar Yosem Yisrael. They're even more medaktik in the details of it than regular Jews are. Yeah. That's how it is. I'm going to mention the Nida, and it comes up in a few places. It comes up in Gittin, yeah. So
how did he have downfall then?
Because eventually they found the worshipping Avodah Zarah. We said Kol Mitzvah Sheikh Zikuba. So Avodah Zarah they were doing, but whichever mitzvah they did accept, they were very conscious.
Are you saying when they worshipped Avodah Zarah, they still kept some mitzvahs?
First of all, you were going to talk about on the base that we had that during the time of the Bais Rishon. You had that Therese Shvatim were doing that, yes.
No.
They're talking about the Kutim, same difference. In other words, again, you had a period of hundreds of years where the Chachamim did not know that they worshipped Avodah Zarah, and maybe they were, maybe they weren't. It could also be that only shortly before they discovered them did they actually start. Whatever it is, but during all that time, they...
Yeah.
And then later on they did it. Okay, so we seem to have three opinions over here. We have the Tanakama who says you can eat it. We have Rabbi Eliezer who says you can't. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is pointing out that the Medaktik Yosem Yisrael. So now let's analyze this right. Amamar, we said in the Brayso, the Masa Kusi Mucheres. We said Masa of a Kusi is Mucheres. So Adam Yosem Yisrael is Mucheres. And a person can be Yosem with it on Pesach. The question is, Kisa, of course, if you can eat it. If you're allowed to eat it, then you can be Yosem with it on Pesach. Well, then Masa is Masa. The answer is no. Maur Tamer Lebeki Beshimur. So you could argue maybe they're not familiar with the concept of Masa Shmura of making sure. So Rashi gives two possibilities. Hold on. One technically only Masa Shmura for the Seder, right? So for the mitzvah of eating Masa. So Rashi mentions one possibility is we're not Gerdes these words that blood key the shimmer. You would think that maybe the problem is that they allowed it to become comets and the Chiddush is that not. And the other possibility, lo b'ki l'shemre, can mean that they may not have been careful, they may not have been doing it l'shemre, they may not have been doing it to make sure that it doesn't become chol. So, lo b'ki means, in other words, like this. We know that the sides you have that can't become chomet, it has to be made l'shem machas mitzvah. Now, they may not be bucky in that, as in they may not be bucky in it, or they may not hold it. So therefore, maybe it should be off. So maybe fine, you can eat it during the rest of Pesach, because you don't need Shmura Masa then. But for the Seder, you can't. That's the Chiddush, Kamash Malan, that they're bucky in that detail, says the Tanakh. In making sure that they're doing it with Shema. Rabbi Eliezer also appreciated the key in Bichusukim Mitzvahs. Then we said Rabbi Eliezer says it's also because they're not Baki in Bichusukim Mitzvahs. What does that mean? Because of a low key in the Shimur. He holds that they're not Baki in Shimur. That it may have allowed it to become Chomet, or it may have allowed it to become Chomet.
So you should apply that to
that's what Rabbi Eliezer said. That therefore, that you're not allowed to eat it even during the rest of Pesach. Never mind Pesach night. This particular thing, he says, they may have allowed it to become chametz. They're not baki in the simonim of what's chametz, and or they may just have allowed it to become chametz without realizing or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Then when we say Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Mitzvah Shechzik about Kusim Havim Adaptik and Riyot in Yisrael, when Rav Shimon Gamliel says any mitzvah that the Kusim Chapon they keep even more carefully than Yisrael, is that a third opinion? I'm a Tanakhama. And he's saying exactly the same thing as a Tanakhama. Since Master is a mitzvah that the Kusim keep, therefore they're extra careful with it, and they're critical of it. So what is Rav Shimon Gamliel? The answer is, Ikebenai Dichtivo Velayach Zikuba. The Nachimina between them would be, what if you have a mitzvah that's written in Torah Shvateh, but the Kusim have not been Masik in this mitzvah? So therefore, the question is, can we trust them? Can we trust them regarding this mitzvah? Tanakama says, the Tanakama will hold, by the way, doesn't mean we know that they weren't masters in it. If we know they weren't masters, we're not talking about. What we mean is, we don't know if they were masters in it. You have a mitzvah that says in the Torah, we don't know whether they hold that. So the Tanakama will say, Kivin Dichtiva, since it says in Torah Shabbat, Afal Gab Deloyach Zikuba, even if we don't know whether they were masters in it, we can still trust them, because we can assume, if it's a Torah Shabbat, they probably keep it. Rav Shimon Gamliel stuff, Rav Shimon Gamliel will hold no. If we know that they're masticking it, then good. If not, then not. So that's the third opinion. So not that it wouldn't make a difference, but another mitzvah that would make a difference. Okay, question is, okay, if you're going to explain trimming a meal that way, then the wording doesn't work. When he says kol mitzvah she'asuka b'kosim, he's saying any mitzvah that the kosim accepted, it sounds like he's going to be adding something that to what the Tanakhama says, not the takeaway. The Tanakhama is saying you can trust him on mitzvah, and the trimming a meal seems to be adding a more general rule on what you can trust him, not restricting the rule. Which would be that they're only a few months. Right. No, the other way around. Ella ikabinau deloik tivavach zikubah. The other way around. If you have a mitzvah that doesn't say in Torah Shabbat at all, but we know that the kosim keep it. Tanakhama stavah, kivin deloik tivavach, so Tanakhama will hold, okay, but it doesn't say in Torah Shabbat, so even if we know that they're mastic in it, nami loy, you still can't trust them. The Shemlamil stavah, kivin the achsuk achsuk. And the Shemlamil says, no, they're mastic in it, they're mastic, and we can trust them.
Regardless.
Yes. Tosfos just points out that actually the truth is, according to, it will come out that there is a nafkamina between them if it's written in the Torah but they weren't machzik and idiots. The Gemara is not dealing with that over here because it's not relevant to our sugya, but Tosfos just refers to a Gemara in Gittin that mentions that point also. So they would argue about both. According to the Tanakhama, the primary thing is that it says in the pasuk. So therefore, whether they're machzik or not doesn't really matter. And if they're mastic and something that's not in the pasuk, it doesn't work. And Rav Shimon Gamliel would say the main thing is chazaka, and therefore, again, it doesn't matter whether it says in the pasuk or not. As long as they're mastic, then they're good. If they're not mastic, then it.
Rav Shimon Gamliel goes only by chazaka.
Right. And the Tanakhama goes only by chazaka. Okay. Fine. So that takes care of it.
He said
when it comes to masa, we have both. Masa is. It says in Torah Shabbat, and we know they accepted it, therefore we're good. Only Rabbi Eliezer would have a problem with it, because he says that they're not Baki. So, yeah. Okay.
Not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel,
not the comment. Okay. Fine. Gufa. Now getting back to another topic we said before. By the way, we're going to revisit the Kosim later on. We're going to get back to the Kosim later on, on Dabba, on Dabba. Meanwhile, let's talk about another case. Yisroel Mumma, Gufa. Getting back to what we said before, Amar Rava, Yisroel Mumma Eichel Nevelas Tehav, and we said that this Yisroel Mumma, who eats Nevelas just because they're tasty or they're convenient or whatever, we said, Bordek Sakim in Oisema, you can check a knife and get a pan, and then Umutal Lechel Mishkita, then you want Chila allowed to eat Mishkita. My timer, now why does that work? My timer, why does that work? Kidding, the Ikeh Keter, the Yisroel, since he has in front of him an equally easy way to do the heter, or to do the iser, loy shavik hakeira v'ochel isura. This guy is only the tail, and he's not going to abandon the heter and adapt to do the iser. So he's not going to adapt the pasul with shkita when he could just as well make a kosher shkita, because he already has a good knife. If he doesn't have a good knife, and we have to be mature to find the knife with the sharpen it or whatever, then not.
But if he has a good knife,
That's the thing. The next question is, ihachi kila bodik nami. You could argue also, even if he didn't check the knife, what's the problem? And the answer is, nisrach leitarach. Exactly that. He's not going to be mashriach himself. If he doesn't find that if the knife's not sharp, he's not going to bother looking for another one. He's not going to bother sharpening it. So therefore, you have to give him the knife and check. Okay. If you didn't check the knife, before you gave it to him, then you have a problem. Because he might just use whatever knife comes in. Okay. The fact that the guy's going through a moment.
Eidan
Kharj of Aloy Loi? There is, but there's also, over here, it is Loi, because the question is he going to have to go to a Tirpa or not? As far as he's concerned, Nevelos and Shchutis are all the same to him, so if it involves Tirpa, then already he'll be Kharj in order to save himself that Tirpa.
On the other hand, a shkita, to do a proper shkita, isn't that more of a tircha than
There is a certain degree of tircha in it, but not enough really. We're going to talk about different degrees of tircha. Hold on. Omer later bon and the rabba. Okay, so the rabbanon of the yeshiva tell rabba tanya de messiah. We have a brayta that supports what you're saying. Because in a different case, it says chametzan shal over avera achar pesach. The chametz of over avera, meaning people who don't get rid of their chametz before pesach because they don't want to lose it. The chametz of such people, achar pesach mutter miyad, it's immediately mutter. You don't have to wait until there's time for them to bake fresh bread. You don't say, well, their chametz was surely chametz to overall of a pesach, and therefore it should be altered. You don't have that problem. because they exchange their chametz with goyim's chametz. Meaning, in other words, what they do is they don't want to get rid of their chametz, not because they don't hold to the concept of beer chametz, but because they don't want to lose out. So in that sense, it's like a mumu l'tehavin. However, they'll try to, at least what they'll do is they'll arrange with a local guy to exchange their chametz with him immediately after Pesach. But now, because that way, at least they're avoiding the stringency of the issur. At least that way, they're rationalizing to themselves. They're rationalizing to themselves. Okay, at least with this way, we're not eating chametz to Avraham over Pesach. We're eating chametz that belongs to a guy over Pesach, and that's fine.
But we just said they don't care. They
okay. No. We said that these people are over the avera. They don't want to sell their. They don't want to get rid of their chametz because they don't want to lose it. They don't want to have that thing.
Right.
But they still don't want to be over on chametz to Avraham over Pesach. So therefore, one second, you also have to realize in this connection, which the Gemara is going to discuss over here, you have two opinions of Tanoim. What is the source of the issue of Chometz Shavah Lava Pesach? Rav Yehuda holds that issue is Zeraisa. Rav Shimon holds it's Zerabar. So that's what we're going to talk about in a second. But so far, just the Braisa, just the straight Braisa is saying that these Jews, they don't want to be over on Chometz Shavah Lava Pesach and eating it. Therefore, they'll get it by exchanging it with Goyim. Now, therefore, Tosfos says, what it means is, therefore, after Pesach, as soon as Pesach is... Pay attention, please. They're over Avera because they kept it over Pesach.
Yeah.
But they don't want to be over... They were over on Bar Yerah by Mokka. They don't also want to be over on Chometz or Avera by Pesach. Therefore, they mitigate it by exchanging it with Goyim.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, so now, we wouldn't be able to eat it because it's half apple. Right. But then we would be at least able, we would be able to have an argument, maybe, if you argued like that. Or another possibility, Tosfos says, again, maybe we're talking about that they bought it, and they exchanged for dough that belonged to a goy, and then they baked it, and then you'd be able to eat it. Okay, the point is that...
They don't want to eat it, they don't mind keeping it.
Yeah, exactly.
They exchange it immediately.
Exactly. So therefore, so this gets into, by the way, so you're asking about the tircha of kosher shchita versus a possible one. So you have, there is a discussion among the mafoshim over here about a major tircha versus a minor tircha. It's not just a major tircha to exchange chametz with a goy, because you always have goy selling stuff or whatever, so it's easy enough. Shchita, no, one second. So to do a proper shchita versus an improper shchita is also only a minor tircha. So therefore, we can assume that if he has the ability to do a proper shchita, that he's going to do it. Sharpening the knife or finding a good knife is more of a tircha, and that he wouldn't bother. That's the difference. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Come on. It's getting late over here. I want to try to get as close as possible. I want to try to go as close as possible to the end of the Almud so that I can give it over at a good time to... So the Gemara says, Svorua, now these Chachamim who told Rava this, who said that this Braita supports his opinion, they were of the opinion, Ha Mani Rav Yehuda, this Braita that we just quoted, would be specifically according to Rav Yehuda, the Amar Chometz after Pesach Zeraisa, where Rav Yehuda holds that Chometz is, that to eat Chometz after Pesach is also Zeraisa, Chometz of Avol Pesach is also Zeraisa. So therefore, Rav Yehuda would be saying, therefore, that even in a Zeraisa thing, we say, Alma, lo shara kater of ochli surah. So we, v'chatonim, if neshe machlis, and we're saying, why are we allowed to eat or have hanah from this chametz after Pesach, we, other yin, because, if neshe machlis, and because they exchange it, meaning, in other words, that even though it's a deraisa, we can be so much on the fact that he exchanged it. So therefore, that would mean, Alma, lo shara kater of ochli surah. So it goes to show that even in a thing deraisa, we're not going to say that if he has the ability to eat something heter without too much tirpa, that he's not going to eat it. The same way as over here, we're saying, those are the minor tircha of exchanging it with a goy in order to have something that's mutter to eat after Pesach, on a deraisa level, according to the Yehuda. The same way, we would say, by the shchita, he won't do a possible shchita, but it's just as easy to do a kosher shchita, with only minor tircha. It's not as easy, but it's only minor tircha to do the difference. To do the kosher tonight, it's a big tircha, but once he has a kosher tonight, it's not much of a tircha to eat. Okay, so that would prove Rava's point. However, the Gemara says Nimai, but who says that that's the correct understanding? Gilmer of Shimini, maybe that Braita is only according to Rav Shimon, the Amal Chomet Tachat Pesach Rabbonon, where Rav Shimon says the whole concept of Chomet Shavala Pesach being offered to eat after Pesach is only Rabbonon, the Chimet Tilinon. So when can we make all and say that that we can assume he exchanged it with the Goy is only Rabbonon, only when something's Rabbonon? We wouldn't necessarily be make all on something Zaraisa. So therefore, so that doesn't necessarily prove Rav's point. Okay, but the Gemara says, fine, it's a heavy Namid of Shimon. Okay, let's say it is a pointed of Shimon. Fine, mi katani sha'ani oimer hachalifu. Okay, but the Braita doesn't use the word sha'ani oimer hachalifu, that we're not actually sure whether they exchanged it, but because it's the Rabbanon, we can assume they exchanged it. The wording of the Braita is Mishnei Machlifin Katani. The Braita says because they exchange, which means Devadei Machlifin, which means we know for sure that they exchange it in order to avoid the Issur. So then that means if we know for sure that they did that, well then we have a Kavachayim. According to Shimon, we're talking only an Issur Drabbanim, and still they're not going to eat something also their own chametz that they kept over Pesach if they have a goy's chametz that they exchange it for after Pesach, which they're how much more so? They're right, like kosher again. Therefore, that would be the proof for Rava. That would be the proof that we see there that for sure, even a thing d'oraisa, even if he's still mummer, we know he's mummer oichel nevelus, but nevertheless he's gonna try to mitigate the issue as much as possible. If he has the ability with only minor tircha to do a kosher shritta, then he's gonna do it.
And we infer that from
because we say that for even if it's only Dirabanan, but we see that they take the trouble, we know for a fact that they take the trouble to not even be oivran and issa dirabanan.
Oivran
issa d'oraisa ba yura ba yura. Because buying by your rabbi Moshe is not—he's not eating. The chametz shalom on Pesach and shchita is involving eating.
He doesn't. If he's over on the rabbanim, that he's machmir under the rabbanim, we can infer that.
Yes, because he might be makel for himself on the deraisa because he's not eating it after all. So he may rationalize to himself, okay, I don't want to lose it, and it's not so important, and then whatever. I'll move off of it in my heart or whatever. But when it comes to eating it, then he's gonna realize eating is a whole different
thing. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And for that,
but that is true.
And we still accept that.
Because we said, but it's a fact that he is. Because it's a fact that Machlifin. It's not that we have to assume that Machlifin. We know for a fact that Machlifin. Okay, let's go on. Lema Messiah, like, okay, so we say that we have another Braita that supports what Rava says. We say a kol shechtin, a Braita says anybody can shech, which means Zaraisa, v'afilu kusi, v'afilu oral, v'afilu yisro mumer. Even a kusi and oral or yisro mumer. So let's figure out what the oral means. Hi, oral, hey, shijam. What kind of oral are we talking about? Oral obviously doesn't mean, by the way, colloquially, sometimes Jews use the word oral to mean a goy. We don't mean that over here, obviously. It means that oral means a yid who is not gemara. So what's the case? Is it that he can't have a bris milah? His brother died of bris milah. Well, then Yisrael, what's the problem? How Yisrael Malia? He's a full-fledged Jew. He's not doing a bris milah, not because he's, now he can't. There's no reason to think that shchita should be possible. Obviously, we must be talking about that he's a mumur la'arelus. He bedavka does not want to have a bris milah. By the way, there is a bit of a discussion among poskim. What if he doesn't want to have the bris milah because of the pain? Does that make him a mumur la'arelus or not? There's a discussion. Okay, anyway, the point is, if he's a mumalare, let's see, he says, I don't hold of this mitzvah, I don't hold that it's important to get a bris milah. Well then, because sover, but obviously this braita holds, mumal dover echad loy having mumal chalaturafula, just because he's a mumal on one thing of bris milah, does not
mean
that'll be a mumal as far as other dinim. So therefore, we can assume, therefore, we can trust him when it comes to shchita. Again, as long as we can trust him when it comes to shchita. So then, let's continue. So then let's continue. After the Yisroel Mummer, then we said even a Yisroel Mummer is able to check off Chila. So hi Mummer, hey Shidomi. So what's the second Mummer of the Braita? If we said the first one is also a Mummer, La Reilus for the one thing. E Mummer the Dover Acher. If he's just Mummer for some other mitzvah, that there's some other particular mitzvah that he doesn't keep, hi Mummer La Reilus. It's exactly the same thing. Mummer La Reilus. The Braita wouldn't have to repeat it. Because it would be the same thing. If he's Mummer La Reilus, you could also have these Mummer. Means among any of the 613 in the mitzvah, he decides this mitzvah doesn't apply.
Right.
He could be a mumer, just like he can be a mumer lemila. He can be a mumer, let's say, as far as eating chametz on Pesach. He can be a mumer as far as not taking over an asterisk, whatever. And it has nothing to do. He could be a mumer as far as that mitzvah, but he's still 100% good as far as shrita. So there'd be no difference between which mitzvah it is.
So it's the same.
One second. Obviously, what must the mumur of the braita mean? That is mumur about shchita itself, that he eats nevelus, that he holds the concept of shchita doesn't apply to him, and nevertheless, we can allow him to shech the chidur rabba. Why would that work? Because rabba is saying, you give him a knife, and then he can shech. But that would prove rabba's point. The answer is loy. No, you don't have to explain the braita that way. Maybe the braita would mean if he's a mumer as far as nevelus, you can't trust the shchita at all, even if you gave him a knife. But, my friend, and why is that? because Kivin the Doshbe, because once he's used to eating the Bailus, Kateda Domile, as far as he's concerned, it's exactly the same, the Heter and the Isser. So therefore, this the logic that we said before is Roy Shove Kateda for Ochli Sura. When he has a choice between Heter and Isser, he's not going to adopt or leave a site, he's not going to adopt or abandon the Heter in order to eat the Isser. But here, where he's so used to eating the Bailus already, as far as he's concerned, there's absolutely no difference. So you can't say he's going to adopt or do one when if he has a choice, an equal choice, he's adopt or going to pick the one. Because as far as he's concerned already, they're the same. So it has to.
He might not
do a kosher shita. He might equally well do a possible shita as a kosher one. So you can't tell. Ela mumul avodis kechavim. Rather, you know what kind of mumul we're talking about? At the end of the braisa, you could say it's talking about a mumul avodis kechavim. He worships avodah zarah, but he keeps the other mitzvahs. That would be the chiddur of onan. So that would work based on what Rav Onan says. The Omer of Onan, Omer Shmuel, Yisrael Mumel Aver, it's called a Mutul Lach Omer Shritasis. If you have a Yisrael as a Mumer for Aver Dezara, says Rav Onan, you, in the name of Shmuel, you're allowed to eat from his Shrita just because it's the same thing as far as they would say, it's the same thing as far as being a Mumer as far as Arelus or as far as Thomas or Pesach or anything else. It doesn't affect his Kashrus as far as Shrita. When it comes to Shrita, he holds by it, and therefore we can assume that he'll do a Kashrus. The Tnever Hall, yeah. That's a whole. Okay, that's a different problem. But let's say we know that he didn't do it. Shema Adizara. Let's say he'd explicitly say ahead of time, I'm doing this.
In his mind.
Okay, I don't know. That's a good question. But we're going to get later on the second paragraph to the whole issue of people shechting the Shema Adizara. It's probably going to be talked about there. I'm not familiar with it offhand, but wait. I think actually part of the distinction that Gemara makes over there, I don't remember for sure, but I think part of the distinction is it that he just worships Avodah Zarah? Okay, it's, you know, something that he does, you know, but versus like, is he addicted to it? Is like a kramer of Avodah Zarah or something? He's like, you know, is this, his whole mitzvah is that he's an oivet of this thing or whatever. So then like his whole thought is,
Well,
there's that also, but there's a difference between whether you're doing it with that tithe or doing it with that, he wants to get covered from the goyim or something, or versus whether he sincerely really believes in it and, you know, is like a missionary or something, like, you know, this is his whole material. Yeah.
We didn't make that distinction enough.
We didn't make that. I think we did, actually.
Why do you have to go to that extent? It's called a modibah, but it's already so to go.
So according to Rav Onan, we would say it's true that Hamoidabava Desire is to cope with the Torah, but they would say that means as far as the severity of it is considered as if he abandoned the whole Torah, but as far as practical dinim, that for example, he should be trusted. As far as Shrita, not necessarily. And as far as that's concerned, they would say Avodah Zarah is like any other.
According to what?
According to what Rav Onan is saying.
Which mitzvahs would not
that
be?
So we would say that any mitzvah is like that, as long as he's not, if he's koshered on Nevela, if he's a mumer for Nevela, then you can't trust his shita. But if he's a mumer for any other mitzvah, then even if that one mitzvah is a bedazara, then you could. So now let's talk about that. Gufa, getting back to that. Let's discuss it in more detail. Amar of Onan Amar Shmur, Yisrael Mumul Aver is Chavim Mutal Lechom Shrikase. We're saying Yisrael who habitually worships Aver Zorah, you'd be allowed to eat from his Shrikah. Where do we get that from? Shekein Matzino B'Yahashafat Melech Yehuda Shenanim Yisrael Atachav. We find that Yahashafat, the king of Yehuda, who was a tzaddik, ate from a meal that was hosted by Achav. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, in Divrei Yomim, V'yizbach Loi Achav Sonu Vokal Aroi V'lo Amar Sheivai, Achav had shechted for him, on it for him, many sheep and many cattle, v'lo oma for him, for Yahushua, v'lo oma sherimah, and for the people, for Yahushua's whole entourage, v'yitzistehu, and he talked him into lalis a Ramos Dila, to go to Ramos Dila to fight against the Aram over there. Achav was the king of the ten shvatim, and we know he was a Rosh, he worshipped over the Zara, etc. Yahushua was a tzaddik, he's the king of Yehoshua. Achav wants to go to war against Aram to capture the city of Ramoth Gilead. He says to Yahushua, you know, the city of Ramoth Gilead belongs to Israel, and the Aramim are occupying it illegally. But my army is not strong enough. I want you to come join with me. And the prophet uses the expression that he gave him a whole party, he shepherded many animals, by Yisrael, and he convinced him, Lalas the Ramoth Gilead. So therefore, so you see that Yahushua is eating from animals that are shepherded under Achav's direction. So the question is, okay, who says Yahushua actually ate? It says that Achav had the animals shechted. Maybe Yahushua told him, I'm sorry, your people are mumurim labradizar, I can't eat them. The answer is, by he says, yes, but the expression in the positive is that he talked him into it. He was like a mace, like Achav talked Yahushua into it. Like a mace, it's the same charge as the word mace. So the question is, okay, who says the word meitzef means involves eating? One second. The doom of the dvorim, maybe vice to say, who just means verbally, he talks him into it. The answer is no, ain hasasa the dvorim. No, hasasa doesn't just mean talking somebody into it verbally. It means gdolo legimah shemakarevas, you have a party together, and he talks him into it over food. What do you mean? The lie? You're telling me there's no such thing as being meitzef without food? You have the case of a meitzef in Avodah Zarah, where your brother or your other close relative or your best friend or whatever tries to talk you into worshiping Avodah Zarah. Doesn't say anything about eating over there. The answer is yeah, that's what it means. Bachila or Shia. He tries to convince you into it by making a whole party for you and figuring that then he'll get on your good side. Said, what about you have in Eov, after you have the first time when the Sultan says to Hashem, you know, the only reason why Eov is such a tzaddik is he's so successful, give him some nisyonis and you'll see he won't be such a tzaddik, and he starts losing, he loses all of his possessions and his children and whatever, and then Hashem says to the Sultan, no, so you see he passed. So the Sultan says, okay, but his body is still intact. Make him sick and disgusting and whatever, and you'll see that he won't have such a moon in you anymore. And Hashem tells him, go ahead, you have permission to do that, just make sure you don't... Oh, so the point is that Hashem tells him that the first time around, you know, look at this, he passed the test, he lost all of his possessions and his children and whatever, and he still says, Hashem notam, Hashem lokach, yishen Hashem levarach. So look at this, vasi sisemi, vayla ba'alei chinam, you talked me into destroying him for no good reason. So anyway, it doesn't involve eating and drinking over there. So obviously, katsasa doesn't have to involve eating and drinking. This is Lamaila Shani. Okay, different when we're talking about by Hashem, obviously, since eating and drinking is not relevant. To Hashem, so there it means without eating and drinking. But by human beings, because eating and drinking is relevant, therefore Hasasa would have to mean with eating and drinking. The Rishba actually gives a different explanation. He says the quote is, by Hashem, it's not really Hasasa. We know Hashem doesn't need to change his mind. Hashem planned this all along because everything is under Hashem's control. So we're talking, Hashem uses the expression in the Pasuk, but he's saying it because Dibra Shai the Koloshim Re'adam. But by people who talk to sometimes think one way and then sometimes think another way, their hasasa is real hasasa, and for that to happen, the most effective way to do it is over food and drink. Okay, so therefore,
you cannot bribe the age.
Well, that's right. Then it's not the point you can't bribe Hashem, but more to the point is Hashem doesn't change his mind either.
Yes.
When the Pasuk says, like he's sustaining vote, it doesn't mean that Hashem actually changed his mind, it's just putting it in terms that we can understand. Okay. The point is, so therefore we see from that, on the face of it, that Yehoshaphat had to have eaten by this party. He ate from these animals that are shechted by Mumu and Lava Dazar. Okay, because we just said, because Vaisi Sehu means that he gave him food. And he ate it. The question is, how do you know there was food? The Jumum Mishta Ishti Mecha Layochal. Okay, so maybe Shafat only drank over there, maybe Taka didn't eat. And fine, you could argue about wine. Okay, so that's wine. Yeah. One second. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Maishnashia. So what are you thinking? I'm drinking, there wouldn't be a problem. Damn, mumul abers, the chavim might have a mumul achalacharakola. And you're saying that you're arguing, Rav Anan, in the same Shmuel, that a mumul laver is chavim is not a mumul achalacharakola. Therefore, you're able to drink his wine without it being considered wine of goyim. Well, by the same logic, mumul abers is achilanami. Then the same thing would be good as far as food. Mumul abers, as far as eating. Mumul abers is chavim might have a mumul achalacharakola. So the same logic would apply to both. If you're accepting that at least Yehoshaphat drank Ahav's wine, that automatically implies he would have been able to eat his meat as well. When you have kings eating together and I'm drinking water, okay.
If you apply it to wine, you're automatically.
And if you were going to say that it's a mumul achala tera kula as far as wine, you'd say the same thing as far as shita. The fact that of Omar Shmuel is saying that he's not a mumul as far as shita, it means that he's not a mumul achala tera kula as far as shita. Good, he's not a mumul achala tera kula as far as wine either. Okay. The Gemara says, Hafi Hashal, what kind of a comparison is that? Shtia stam yenam. When it comes to drinking, you could argue it's maybe not real yayin nesef, it's only stam yenam. We don't know whether they poured it out, l'shem avodah zarah. And Vadaimlin, that's again until Levi Kohen. That Zeta didn't come about yet. Because that Zeta, we learned in Avodah Zarah, is one of the things that the Talmudim of Shammai and Hillel would go to, which is hundreds of years later. Avalachila, Emelach, Mumul, Avodah Zarah, Mumul, Avodah Zarah, maybe still, you could argue as far as eating meat that was shechted, maybe because these guys worshipped Avodah Zarah, maybe the Mumul, Avodah Zarah, and maybe they were for Taka Yehoshaphat only drank and didn't eat, doesn't say in the Pasuk that he ate. So fine, by you say who he convinced him over a glass of wine, because it was only Sam Yehna. But, yeah. The answer is, we know that not, because first of all, Iboisim, one possible answer you could say is, Lav Urche de Malka Mishtia Blen Mechla. It's not the usual way of a king to drink without eating. If he drank, he must have also eaten. Iboisim, if I use Bachayis, he says, even also, you have the post mentioned, he shechted, and he convinced him. Meaning, Bamahi Sisoi, what did he convince him with? Vizicha, with the meat from the animals that he shechted, so we see therefore that Yerushalayim must have eaten. Okay, so now that we've established that Yerushalayim ate the meat, now we have to establish who shechted it. The Dilma Evadia Zobach, maybe Evadia, who was Achav's chief of staff, he's a Yoreh Shemayim, right? Maybe he's the one who did all the Shechita, but that doesn't prove anything about Mumrim Labor Dezara during the Shechita. No, Evadia, the Navi. The answer is, okay, well, those two, the Pasuk says there were a lot of them shechted. One person, Evadia, couldn't have shechted that many. So obviously you have to have other people. Hey, what about, that's the point, Avadia, what happens to Patrick? Avadia by himself wouldn't have been able to check that much.
Maybe he just checked the court with Sachar and...
For Yoshoffa? That's the thing, wait. Okay, hold on.
That's the answer?
Yeah, hold on, wait, we'll get that. Okay, the Dilma Shiva Salatim Zorach, what about though, the Pasuk tells us there were 7,000 people in the kingdom of Aseret HaShivatim who did not worship Abed Zorah. Dichtiv, Zavuach, maybe they were the ones who shechted. Dichtiv, we have a pasuk that Hashem tells Eliyahu that eventually there's going to be a point where the Jewish people are going to be very downtrodden. There's many of them are going to be killed by the goyim as punishment for their errors. And eventually, the Shalki Yisrael Shiva Salafim will leave among the Jewish people, among the Aseret HaShivatim, that is, 7,000 people, Kolabakayim Asher Lekorah LaBaal, we're going to be all the people whose knees never bowed down to Baal and all the mouths that never kissed it. But maybe those 7,000 people didn't worship Abed Zarah, maybe Achav got them to be the ones to shechted. The answer is no. Tamuri Havam Tamri Mizebel. Those 7,000 people would have been in hiding from Mizebel, because if she knew they're not worshipping Abed Zarah, she would have killed them the same way. She was killing out the Nevi'im. So the Nevi'im, for example, that's why they were killing the Nevi'im, and therefore Abed had to hide to 100 of them in case. Mizebel is not from the queen, yeah.
Queen.
But they were hiding. They wouldn't get. So Avadia is one thing. So Avadia is one thing. He's one person that would have been willing to tolerate him, but not 7,000. Okay. What about the Dilma Gavri Da'achav Havamalu? Okay. How do you know? Maybe Taka. Maybe what it is Izebel wouldn't tolerate that there are regular citizens who are not worshiping Abed Zarah, but maybe in the palace staff itself, you have some of Achav's own people are not Abed Zarah. Some of them can be good people. You got Ibadia over there after all, and Izebel tolerates him. So maybe some of these 7,000 were among that. The answer is Lloyd talked about this. You can't think that way. Just this. You have a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Moshe Machshev al Dvar Sheker, when you have a ruler that listens to lies, call Meshos of Rishayim, all of his Meshosim, all of his servants are Rishayim, because they all follow what he says. Okay, it's not an absolute thing, because we have Evadia over here. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out, during Ashash, we also have Yehoyakim was one of the last kings of Yehuda, was a Rosha, and the people of his Dor were Tzadikim. Sidkia was a Rosha, and the people of his Dor were Rishon. But generally speaking, the people usually follow the king. If it was not going to be like that, you would have to have something in the pasuk to imply that. Okay, now the question is, Duma Gavri di Yehoshaphat Nami lo Habamalu. Okay, maybe you can answer then, that okay, Yehoshaphat's people are also no good. So therefore, Zavuach Gavri de Achav, Achav Gavri de Yashofa. So what happens is like this. You have Achav staff who are Rishonim, they're shechting, and Yashofa's people go ahead and eat that. They don't care if these guys are Mumer, or Mumer, Lavo de Zara, and Machola Tarakola. And then what about Zavuach Evadia, Achav Yashofa? And then like you said, they specially brought an Evadia to shech one animal to Yashofa to eat. This is Lloyd's talk about this. You can't think that.
Would not want all his people to be eating
Well, wait, the Gemara has a better answer. Lo yisak da'adach, you shouldn't think that way, that maybe Yehoshaphat's people were Rishoyim, because ni d'moshe machshev al dvar sheker, kol meshoros of Rishoyim, well, if the Pasuk is telling us that a ruler who listens to lies and all of Meshorosim are bad, are Rishoyim, then the implication is the other way around the dvar emet. If you have a moshe who listens to dvar emet, like Yehoshaphat, who's a tzaddik and respects some of the Chachamim, then Meshorosim, tzaddikim, then you can assume that Meshorosim are tzaddikim as well.
We get rid of them,
right? He'd fire them, right? He wouldn't kill them necessarily, but he'd fire them. Okay, what about another possibility? The Duma Zabuach Gavri de Achav, Ochel Achav, the Gavri. Maybe what it is like this. Achav has his people shecht animals for Achav and his people to eat. Zabuach Gavri de Yehoshaphat, Ochel Yehoshaphat, the Gavri. Meanwhile, Yehoshaphat brings his own people, who are not Ogdav and Azada, and he has them shecht animals for himself and his people. So that's who Yehoshaphat is from Yehuda, he's the Sabbath. That's what we're saying. But maybe what it is maybe the arrangement was, No. Maybe the arrangement is we'll have two separate meals over here. We'll have two separate caterers. You'll have Achav caterers who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and you'll have your Shofar caterers who are good Jews.
Two dining rooms.
Yeah. The answer is two dining rooms. Yeah. The answer is Lo have a Machlig Nafshin Inei. The answer is your Shofar was not going to separate himself from Achav. They were good friends, and they were good friends. That was actually the problem. And later on, first of all, by the way, you should know, Yehoshaphat almost got himself killed in that battle. So at one point, the Pasuk says that the Azamim had they have a whole thing over there where Michoy, who the Navi, had told Achav, you're the only one who's going to be killed in the battle. The Melech Haram overheard this or whatever, and he tells his people, in fact, only go and aim for Melech Yisrael. All of a sudden, they see Melech Yehoshaphat over the Melech Yehuda on the battlefield, and they're about to stab him. And then he screams out, and all of a sudden they realize, Davin Hashem, he screams to his people to come save him, and then they realize, Melech Yehuda, and they leave him alone. But Yehoshaphat came very close to being killed over there. And when he got back from the battle, the prophet says, and Navi came out and told him, you did badly, you're not supposed to get together with Rishayim like that. But yeah, at this point, he didn't know that. Yeah.
What do you mean he didn't know?
He didn't realize. He didn't have to say such a bad thing. Okay, so now the question is, Manolan, where do we get that from, that Yehoshaphat wouldn't have been careful about that? Are you going to say, because the Pesukim over there say, when Achav says, come, let's go and fight in Ramat Gilad, Yehoshaphat says, sure, I will be like you, my people will be like your people. So that means, on the face of it, that means they're together, they're completely friends, yeah, they were so on you. No. What are you going to say? The next thing he says in the Pesuk is, my horses will be like your horses. There's no Ister Behetcher involved in horses. Come on. Ella, obviously what he means in Kisusai Kisusecha just means Ma Dehavi Asusecha Tehavi Asusai. Whatever is going to happen with your horses will happen with mine. In other words, I'm willing to fight in the battle with you as an equal partner. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm willing to accept your kashrus or whatever. Hakinami, the same thing you could say with Kamoni Kamoicha Kami Kamecha means Ma Dehavi Alosvi Ilovi, Ilovi Amach, whatever happens to you and your people, Tehavi, oh, Alai, Ilovi Ami. I'm willing for myself and my people to take the same risk. Doesn't show that they have any nemodus to each other, or good friendship, or whatever. No, rather we can learn it from the following passage. Also in that description of the meeting before the battle, the passage says, Melech Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda Yoshim Ishal Kitzay, the Melech Yisrael, which is Achav, and Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, are each sitting on their throne, Meleboshim Begodim, they're wearing their royal clothes, the Goren Pesach Shal Shomim, in the Goren, a Goren is a threshing floor, actually. Well, yeah, a granary, where they store the grain. At the entrance of the gate of Shomim. In my Goren, what are you talking about with a Goren? Philem a Goren, my machine, there was an actual Goren, an actual granary over there, that they're sitting in the granary. Also, Shal Shomim and Goren have a, would they have had a granary right there at the gate of Shomim? Especially because actually the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that a Goren, because you have, there's all the peels and shells and whatever from the grain that when you winnow and whatever, it has to be kept a certain distance away from the city in order not that it doesn't bother the people in the city. So it can't have been right there by the entrance. El Ki Goren. Rather, what the Pasuk means to imply is that they were like a threshing floor. What does that mean? They were completely Rashi says they were in love and friendship and in one bond, like the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is described as a Goren. The Sanhedrin would sit in the shape of a half circle, a half threshing floor. A threshing floor is round, so meaning to go round and round to thresh the wheat. And thresh the grain. So the Sanhedrin sat like a half circle. Kadesh Yerugoyin Zeseh, so they can see each other, and this way they can argue in halacha. So the same thing over here, the same thing over here, when we see if it's described that they're sitting like a Goren, meaning they're sitting in that same kind of arrangement like that, it means they're completely at friendship, and they're completely trusting each other, and then everything. So therefore, that shows that you wouldn't have had separate dining rooms or anything. It shows that Yehoshaphat and Achav would have eaten together, and if they're eating together, there's no way to have it, other than to assume that that Achav people are shechting the animals. That's all the Pasuk does say by Yizbach Achav, that Achav is the one who gave the orders for the Shechita. So you can't say all the Shechita was done by Yehoshaphat's people. And therefore we see that Yehoshaphat is eating from the Shechita of Achav's people, even though they're Mumal Abed Yisachavim. And Rav Onan says in the name of Shmuel, that proves that you can eat from the Shechita of a Mumal Abed Yisachavim. That's the point that we were at. That's the point we were trying to prove.
Okay.
It's not the halacha, but that's so far the proof. Later, the Gemara is going to continue on. The Gemara is going to continue on with this topic of eating from the shechita of a mummer and come to other conclusions. But yeah, this is a good place to stop.
Did you review afterwards?
I told you. Yeah, that Navi came and told him what was the Navi's name? I should better remember it. But at this particular moment, I don't. But whatever. The Navi comes and tells him, halalosha tazer. What do you think you should be helping a Rasha and then you should be helping a Rasha. Hashem is very upset with you.
They didn't.
Well, Ahab got killed in it. And once he got killed, once everybody realized that he was dead, then everybody else was gathered. Yeah.
So they didn't win,
right? But yeah.
Won,
Yehu ben Hanani comes here and tells him, "Our Rasha Lazar was so Hashem terrible. You're helping a Rasha and you're loving people who Hashem hates." Well, those for lachol kesef melachin Hashem. You should know because of that, Hashem is very angry at you. Avol, but he says you should know. After all, Hashem's not gonna punish you because after all, you did do a lot of good things. You got rid of avodah zara in your part of Eretz Yisrael, and you're doing your best to be close to Hashem. So therefore, Hashem will give you a grace this time, but don't do it again.
Yeah, right. My old years were acceptable. Five years wanted to go to you as a regular. And those are the friends.
Well, it's not a new thing in Yoshua's times. Actually, you have all the way back in the times of Asa, which is Yoshua's father. That is when they first started coming and being at peace. In fact, you have it mentions in Seder Olam. Now she brings it on Sukkim over there in Malachim. That Asa married off either one of his sons or grandsons or whatever, somebody in the family, maybe Yashapat, I think it was Yashapat himself actually, to the daughter of Omri, and Omri is the father of Ahab. In fact, the Pesukim mention over there, there was a period of time after the previous king is dead, you have a period of time when there are two contenders for the throne of the Aseret HaShevatim. You have Omri, and you have another fellow named Tivni Ben Dina. They're going like that for 4 or 5 years. Eventually, the Pesuk says, by Yeshak Omri, that Omri was stronger, and Tivni died, and Omri became sole king. What made him stronger, as the Chacham tell us, is that Asa decided to join forces with him and intermarry with him. And in fact, that was also a problem because now you have that the Malchus-based Yehuda, Malchus-based David, has people from Ahab's family involved in it. Eventually, back after Yehoshaphat's times, and in the times of Yehoshaphat's son, Yehoram, and grandson, Ahaziah, they were already worshipping Abba Dazara, those kings, just like the kings of Yisrael. And eventually, they got wiped out, and all kinds of terrible things happened as a result of this. But yeah.
It started with Asa and Omri,
and then it continued even more with Yehoshaphat and with Yehoshaphat and Ahab.
So you
must be on them, but you make sure that you don't be equal.
Rabbi, how do you believe the oil? Maybe they brought the various from the fields.
Hold on. Irvin, we're going to deal with tomorrow. I won't be here to deal with it, but it will be dealt with in the shiur about the Irvin.
I
didn't get to the Irvin. We stopped over here at the shiur going there. Okay. Yishkoyach, everyone.
Yishkoyach, have a good trip, Rabbi.
Thank you.